Would you turn with me to the Psalm 51? Psalm is just a few verses in this psalm has been before me for several days now. And the message expanded and changed a little bit as I began to meditate and let the Holy Spirit just speak to me. The title of this message is A Cry for Revival. A Cry for Revival. And probably, perhaps, most of us are familiar with this psalm. David prays for remission of sins and for sanctification. After his downfall, his sin, and we know the story. The committing adultery with Uriah's wife, and then having him put in the forefront of the battle where he was killed. She had a baby, the baby died at childbirth. And he pleads for God's forgiveness, and God is so merciful. And we look at that situation, how awful, how terrible that was. What a horrible thing that he did. Yet God is so forgiving this morning, so loving and so kind. The Word of God even says, David, a man after God's own heart. And when I read this psalm, it just brings that to me. I see the essence of what that scripture means as we read this scripture. Would you just read with me the 10th verse? He says in this prayer and then in the psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And I'm going to stop right there. He speaks, as I began to dwell on these scriptures, the thought of restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That was before me, that was kind of at the forefront of this message of the joy of thy salvation. David knew. David, after Nathan confronted him, the prophet confronted him, he confessed. He knew he was convicted. And he knew he wasn't right with God. He knew he wasn't in the place where he needed to be. The conviction came upon him so heavy. And he knew he wasn't right. He knew he had to get right with God. And he humbled himself, praise God. I love when you read that, read the earlier part of the psalm. He humbled himself. He confessed his sin. He owned it. He didn't try to whitewash it. He didn't try to excuse it. He didn't try to use platitudes. But he owned it. Against you, Lord, have I sinned, only you. And he knew he had to get right. And he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, praise God. Do you have the joy of God's salvation this morning? Don't answer. I don't want an outline. I don't want a verbal answer. I want you to think about that. Do you have the joy of God's salvation? I love the way the Word of God uses words. They're not by accident. He doesn't say happiness, but he says joy. Joy and happiness are a little bit different, you see. Joy is a selfless feeling of extreme happiness and pleasure, if you look in the dictionary. It often requires great self-sacrifice, and you feel an lasting inward contentment and peace. It's not about yourself, but it's about the circumstances, it's about others. The joy that a baby brings that comes into life as a parent, their sacrifice with that joy, Raising that child is going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be difficult at times. But there's a lasting joy. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is short term. Happiness is more about how you feel at the moment. When did the Cardinals win the last World Series? My brother-in-law, no. 2011. Remember that? Remember the sixth game? They came back three or four times being behind. And David Freese hit that home run in the 11th, bottom of the 11th inning. Does that bring you any joy today? Oh, it's a great memory, but yeah, well, wow, they did it. The Blues won the Stanley Cup. Remember Gloria? Yeah. Gloria. Everybody went wild. The city went wild. Have you thought about that at all in the last 5 years? Has that thought ever come? Maybe some have, but generally, have you thought about any of that in the last 5 years? Probably not. Things of this life are fleeting, that happiness fleeting. But it's the joy of the Lord, praise God. We read Nehemiah. Let me turn to that real quick. When they found the words, when they were rebuilding the temple and the wall, and they found the books of the law, and they rehearsed them before the people cried and wept. The people were so convicted under the reading of the word. And it says, then he said, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's not just a slogan. That's a reality. Praise God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In Psalms, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. In the Lord's presence is fullness of joy. It's not in what you accomplish. It's not in what happens. It's not with the good fortune you have with getting a raise or whatever the situation may be, but it's in the presence of the Lord. There is the joy, praise God. And David knew he wasn't in the presence of God. He knew it. In Romans, he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God. That kingdom, he says, is within us. How? By the indwelling spirit that lives within us. The kingdom of God within us. Righteousness and peace. You see, you got to start out with righteousness. To get the joy, you got to live right. You got to be righteous before the Lord. And from that comes peace, because we know everything is settled. We know there is assurance. We have that communion through God the Father, God the Son, through the Holy Spirit. We become one. And then the joy of the Lord is our strength. Without that strength, you and I, brothers and sisters, are not going to be successful. We can't go on. When we get out of the presence of the Lord, when we're cooled off a little bit, that presence, that strength leaves us, and we're more subject to the attacks of the enemy. But we got to reside and remain in that presence of the Lord. Praise God. In Isaiah, he says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I like the metaphor there. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's serving the Lord. You serve the Lord with joy. If you don't have joy, what are you doing here? What's the purpose? What are we doing here? If there's no joy in serving the Lord, if that isn't prevailing in our lives, in our homes, in our families, what is the purpose? We have a form of godliness. But the reality, praise God, when the presence of the Lord is with us, there is joy, my brother and sister. We may be going through things. Oh, yes. I read a statement. Joy can be present where difficulties exist. But happiness can't live in this space. Amen? You can have joy in the midst of trouble, in the midst of losing a loved one. There's sadness, but at the same time, there's a joy knowing they completed their walk with the Lord, knowing they're in the hands of God, knowing that He is faithful. Oh, praise God, we can have joy in difficult situations. Joy is constant and happiness is temporary. Oh Lord. And what I sense David is saying here, David is asking, is for revival, restoration. Amen. Restoration, renewal. An awakening. That's what David is asking for here. He's asking for revival. I wasn't looking for this, but I came across this article from this woman whose name is Nancy Lee DeMoss. I didn't look her up. I didn't Google her. I have no idea who she is. But she compiled a list that just convicted me and touched me, and I want to pass it on. List of reasons why we need revival. And I want to ask you as I read this, I want you to understand, I want you to think about those, and I want you to say, do we, because I'm in this with you, do we see ourselves in this list? It says, when we do not love Him as we once did. When earthly interests and occupations are more important to us than eternal ones. When we would rather watch TV and read secular books and magazines than read the Bible and pray. When church dinners are better attended than prayer meetings. When concerts draw bigger crowds than prayer meetings. When we have little or no desire to pray. When we would rather make money than to give money. When our Christianity is joyless and passionless. When we know truth in our heads that we are not practicing in our lives. When we know truth in our heads that we are not practicing in our lives. When we make little effort to witness to the lost. When the fire has gone out of our hearts, our marriages, and our church. When we seldom think thoughts of eternity. When people have to be begged to give and to serve in the church. When God's people are more concerned about their jobs and their careers than about the kingdom of Christ and the salvation of the lost. When people have to be entertained to be drawn to church. When church services are predictable and business as usual. When Christian husbands and wives are not praying together. When we don't long for the company and fellowship of God's people. When sin in the church is pushed under the carpet. When believers can be at odds with each other and not feel compelled to pursue reconciliation. Is that it, Brother Ron? No, there's more. When our marriages are coexisting rather than full of the love of Christ. When we are more concerned about our children's education and their athletic activities than about the condition of their souls. When our children are growing up to adopt worldly values, secular philosophies, and ungodly lifestyles, when we are bored with worship, when known sin is dealt with through the biblical process of discipline and restoration, is not dealt with through the biblical process of discipline and restoration, when we tolerate little sins of gossip, critical spirit, and lack of love, when we will watch things on television, movies that are not holy, when our singing is half-hearted and our worship lifeless, when we start fitting into and adapting to the world rather than calling the world to adapt to God's standards of holiness, when our prayers lack fervency, when our prayers are empty words designed to impress others, when our hearts are cold, when we aren't seeing regular evidence of the supernatural power of God, when we are content to live with explainable, ordinary Christianity and church services, when we are making little or no difference in the secular world around us, and when we are blind to the extent of our need and don't think we need revival, do any of those things resonate with you? Do any of those things, did they touch a nerve? Did you find yourself in that description? I found myself. And I say, oh Lord, revive us again. I want to cry out like David, oh Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh Lord, revive my soul, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, church, the cry today is, Lord, revive us. I know we have loved ones that are not here this morning. Husbands and wives and children and grandchildren that are not here, that are out of the ark of safety, that are doing their thing. I understand that. And we pray for them, but I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, we that are here inside these walls, we need to get on fire. We need for the Holy Spirit to move. We need for the power of God to revive us. We need to see the gifts in operation, praise God. We need to have fervent prayer. We open it up for prayer and crickets, nothing. If our brother deacons didn't pray, we wouldn't be able to close some of the services. Call for a prayer meeting. Well, I'm kind of busy, you know, I got things and I can pray at home, and you know the excuses we make to satisfy ourselves. And James writes, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. Can you live? David couldn't do it. David, I'm not comparing our sins to David, but David could not stay where he was. He was so convicted by the presence of God. Nathan spoke to him and he was so convicted. He could not stand to be where he was. Lord, would you put us in that condition where we can't stand to be where we are, but we got to get closer. Maybe I'm out in left field spiritually, but oh Lord, I don't want to live out there. I want to be at home plate. Oh, praise God. Oh Lord, help us. The psalmist says later on in the 85th Psalm, wilt thou not revive us again? We've seen revivals. We talk about revivals. We remember revivals. But I want us to pray for revival. Oh, that the Spirit of God may move. We had young people that need to see the power of God. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need to see the baptism baptized on fire for God. Somebody speaks in tongues in the church and we're looking at, well, where'd that, what's that? I'm being a little facetious, but you know what I'm saying. Oh, Lord, help us. It's not the tongues. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting emphasis where I don't mean it to be. It's not that. It's the presence of God. It's the overpowering love, the feeling, the Holy Spirit moving, praise God. We felt it this morning in the singing, in the worship, did we not? We felt it, oh, worshiping the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. How can we sit idly by? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? You shed your blood. You reconciled me back to the Father. I had no hope. I was lost. I couldn't get there from here. He had to pull me up. He had to take me out. Praise God. He had to wash me in the blood. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to his name. Lord, help us this morning. Oh, praise God. In Chronicles, that famous verse we've quoted so many times, if my people, which are called by my name, are we called by his name this morning? Yes, we are. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Humble themselves. Get out of your comfort zone. Just be real with God. Where am I this morning? What is the condition of my soul? I'm going along, getting along. I'm just riding the tide. No, God says you gotta run against the current. But the current is pulling you downstream, and we got to swim upstream, my brother and sister, spiritually. Humble themselves and pray. And what? And pray. And what? And pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. We think turn from my wicked ways. Well, that's the bad sinner, the adulterer, the one who, you know, drugs, and that's the wicked. No, we're the wicked. If we're not worshiping, if we're not following him, if we're not totally surrendered, Lord, we're going against you. It's like God saying, after all I've done, after all I've shown you, after all I've done to bring you out of darkness, bring you to a place where you can know me in spirit and truth. This didn't come from you. I placed that faith within you to even seek my face. Yes. You think it was you that wanted to pray and find God? No, it was the Holy Spirit that was working around you. And God gave you that faith. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. I love that this morning. There's forgiveness with the Lord. Aren't you glad for that this morning? David sinned so horribly, yet there was forgiveness for David. Well, he didn't know. No, he knew. He knew he was culpable. He knew what he was doing. He sinned. It was horrible. I read in the Old Testament, I can't remember the king's name, either in Kings or Chronicles. He was an evil king. And God sent the prophets to correct him, and he killed the prophets. Had idol worship, desecrated the temple. Went against God. And the Lord allowed him to be captive. An army took over, brought him back to their land. In the prison cell where he was, he repented. He repented of his sin. And the Lord, if you read the scripture, the Lord restored him back to the crown. After all what he did, and well, I didn't do that bad. I'm not as bad as him. Well, wait a minute. We're all guilty of the blood of Jesus. Amen? We were born in sin. There dwelleth in me no good thing. That's what the word says. So let's not get say, well, you know, I'm pretty good compared to him. We're not. We all have that capability. But God is so loving. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Metaphorically, I will heal their hearts. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close with this scripture in Isaiah. Brother, sister, would you come forward? He says, behold, he says, remember ye not the former things. So if Isaiah 43, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Lord, would you reach to us this morning? Make a way in the desert. Open up the rivers, Lord, of your living water. Oh, irrigate the souls, oh God. Baptize with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Restore us. Restore us. David. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Did you ever fear that you would lose the Holy Spirit? Did you ever get so cold, so far from God, that you would lose the Holy Spirit? I have. It scared me. I know exactly where he's coming from. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with a free spirit. That Holy Spirit is a free spirit. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. It is a gift. A gift from God. You receive a gift. But your heart has to be prepared. Oh, praise God. I feel the Holy Spirit is calling out to us this morning. A cry for revival. A cry for revival. You know, I think we've been a church for some 100+ years, and we're not looking and saying, oh, well, look at us. We're still here after 100+ years. I don't want to just be here. I don't want to say we got 100 years of look at the heritage and the pastors we've had before. Wonderful, praise God. That's not the point. The point is the Holy Spirit alive and well in the church today? Are we truly on fire? Are we a tool in his hand? Are we just occupying a building with a name and, oh, look at the heritage. Oh, you belong to Brother Adlini's church. Wow, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's good. But no, Lord, today are you alive and well in the church? Are you moving? Is the Spirit of God convicting? Oh, Lord, help us. After these 100 years, let us not get to a point. We've seen, I'll say, degradation. We've lost members. I remember seeing videos in the 80s, right after we moved into the church. These pews were packed. They were packed. Well, let's see. Has the message changed? No. The word's still being preached as it was 100 years ago? Yes, as best we know. We haven't introduced any doctrinal changes. We haven't strayed away from the word. Is God's mercy still so great? Yes. Is his grace there? Yes. Is his love? Is the blood, has the blood lost its power in any way? No. Then what is the problem? What is the issue? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you and me? Oh, church, come on. With what you have, you should be leading the charge. You should be an example for the other churches. Not to lift up the church. I don't mean it that way. I mean to be an example for Jesus Christ. But we get complacent and we settle in and we accept, and the influences of the world around us has rubbed off. And we start comparing ourselves to others instead of to Jesus. And we start looking at, well, look how good we're doing, and look at our history, look at our heritage. We still preach the Holy Ghost. Do we receive the preaching? Lord, help us this morning. I hear in David's voice a cry for revival. I don't know that he's speaking for the church, but in my mind, I think of it that way is how I kind of envision it. A cry for the church. Lord, Lord, please. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. Praise God, because there's strength, there's power, there's anointing, there's the Holy Ghost. He wants to come, and he wants to bless, and he wants to do a great work. I'll do a new thing. Well, it's, we've seen before, yes, but it's new today. Amen. We need it today. We need it right now. What about my children? What about my grandchildren? What about my husband and my wife? What's going to happen? You see, that's out of fear because we're not where we should be in Christ. When we get to the point where God wants us to be in Christ, we say in the name of Jesus, they're coming back. In the name of Jesus, we're believing. We're going to intercede. We're going to stand before the throne of grace, and we're going to intercede and believe God for the return. I sent a message to someone just the other day. If I can find it very quickly here, in Jeremiah. Bear with me. I hadn't planned on reading this, and I can't lay my hand on it quickly, but it said something to the effect, I have hope, there's hope for you, that your children will return to their own land. There's hope. And that just touched a nerve way down inside. Because I could look around and see those who are fading away spiritually. And it burdens me. And I'm concerned. And I say, Lord, we've lost too many already. We've lost too many already. Brothers, sisters, would you pray with me? Would you just get in faith and unity with me? Lord, restore, restore, restore. Bring them back to their own land. Praise God. Oh Lord, you are able this morning. Let's just believe. Let's trust him this morning. May the Lord encourage you. May his name be praised.